Be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It seems like that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 has led us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the reason why is because as I've been preaching this little series of messages entitled The Church Under Construction, we've discovered in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 that God is building His church, and the church is being compared in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 to an architectural structure that is to a building. We might think of it as being compared to a house in which there's a family that dwells. And we might think of it as a commercial building in which there is a business. But our Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is revealing to us that the church, the building that God is building, the church that is under construction, is a temple. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16 that it is the temple of God. And the reason why is because the Apostle tells us that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in us. That is, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling among His people. That is, He's living in His church. That is, the church that is under construction has an expert builder. It is the Lord who's building the church. It has an established foundation. Verses 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians 3, that foundation is Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. There are the enduring materials that's built out of gold and silver and precious stones that will last forever. That is, eternal material. And we discovered indeed there are some existing problems. That is, the church isn't complete yet, and as a result of that, there's still some problems that the Lord is working on. But then we also began looking at the eternal inhabitant. That is, that there's somebody who lives in the church. I remember I said to you in the service this morning that the church is not a building, and the church is not just a budget, and the church is not just a membership role. But I tell you, the church is a body of people that have been saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the grace of God, in whom the Holy Spirit indwells. That lives on the inside of us. That means that if you really are a part of the church, that means you've been redeemed by the grace of God. God has saved you, and you are indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit. That is, He lives inside of your body. And if He lives on the inside of you, and He lives on the inside of the other person who is saved, and He lives inside this fellowship of believers, those who've been redeemed, who meet together, then He dwells in the church. He is the eternal inhabitant. Listen to me now. The most important person is the church, is inside the church, is the one that you can't see. Amen. He's the invisible one. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. He lives in the church. He is the eternal inhabitant. Well, we began trying to look at a couple of weeks ago what it is that the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. If He is the eternal inhabitant, if He's the one who lives in the church, if the church is the temple of God and is inhabited by the Holy Spirit, then what is it that the Holy Spirit is doing in the church? I said to you in the service this morning, it's kind of like when you get home and you walk in the house and you want to know what's been going on in the house. When you come in there, you want to look around and see what's been happening and what has gotten done or hasn't gotten done since the time that you left earlier that day. I tell you, when you walk into the church among God's people and you start looking around to see what is going on or what is happening, the Bible reveals to us what it is that the one who lives in the church is doing, what he is up to. Now, we could go in a lot of different directions with this idea because the New Testament is full, and even there's some places in the Old that revealed to us the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the redeemed. But we confined ourselves to what it is that Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers, first in the book of 1 Corinthians, and then also in the book of 2 Corinthians, about the work of the Holy Spirit, what it is that he's doing in the life of the church in which he indwells. And so we've been looking at some of those things. I talked to you about the demonstration of the Spirit that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 when he first brought the gospel to the city of Corinth. And we talked about his salvation, that is, the work that the Holy Spirit did when he saved these people that Paul is writing to, when he washed them and he justified them and he sanctified them in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And then we moved on and we discovered his revelation, that inside the church the Holy Spirit is doing a work of revealing truth. And there's a work of revelation going on, especially in the first century. And we find that as a result of that work, you and I have the scriptures even today, the writings, the revelation that the Spirit gave in the New Testament. His work work of revelation. Then we saw his work of glorification. That is, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Father and the Son. And he's doing that in and through the church that he inhabits, as we discovered in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. There's his unification that we looked at last Sunday morning. And that is that we discovered that indeed the Holy Spirit is doing a work in which he places us into one body. The moment that you got saved, you were placed into, immersed into the body of Christ, into one body, so that we are, although we're all different and varied, we are indeed one body. The Spirit of God is his purpose to produce unification. We talked about his edification. That is, he's trying to build up the church, and he does that through the spiritual gifts that he gives to us. The purpose of spiritual gifts that we discovered last Sunday night, the purpose of spiritual gifts is so that we might use those gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us from our conversion to edify or build up one another. This past Wednesday night, I talked about his expectation. That is, the Holy Spirit is described to us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 5 as the earnest. That is, the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest of the Spirit. And the idea is, he's the down payment, like earnest money. He's the down payment that guarantees there is much more to come. Listen, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is producing in the life of the church is real expectation. If there's anybody in all the world that ought to be looking forward to the future, it ought to be God's people who've been redeemed by the grace of God and who are indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit. If you were in the service this morning, I talked about his liberation. And that is right here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 17, we discovered that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. And we discovered that what the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of his church, that is those in whom he indwells, is that he is liberating us, or he is setting us free. He is setting us free, ladies and gentlemen, from sinful actions and sinful attitudes. He's setting us free from minds that are controlled by ungodliness and worldliness. He's setting us free from decisions and actions that are controlled by the worldly culture and the ungodly culture around us. His purpose in your life is to set you free so that you can worship God with real worship from your heart, and so that you can serve him in love, and so that you can serve others in love, and so that you can become a holy and godly, and everything that God wants you to be. God is in the process of setting you free. He wants you to experience liberty. Now listen to me now. The freedom that I talked to you about this morning is not something that just happens one time. Listen to me now. The kind of freedom that I'm talking about is what the Spirit of God does in your life as you walk in the Spirit, as you yield to the Spirit day after day after day in the daily grind of walking with God and fighting and putting to death your flesh. You can learn to experience, and you will experience, the liberty or the freedom that the Bible is talking about in this passage. You can learn to do what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, where he said that we can bring every thought into captivity unto Christ. The Holy Spirit will set you free, and listen, he'll help you to bring your mind under the control of the Lord Jesus, of the Lordship of Christ. Listen, he'll bring your will under his Lordship. He'll bring every part of your life under his Lordship so that you can walk in liberty and in freedom. He wants to set you free from the power of sin so that sin no longer dominates your mind and no longer dominates your decisions and no longer dominates your life. There is freedom, ladies and gentlemen, and the purpose of the Spirit is to help you experience that freedom in your life. That is, there is his liberation. So I want you to notice with me the final verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 18, where we discover that the apostle writes about the work of the Holy Spirit in transformation. Notice what he writes, verse 18, but we all, with open face, not a veiled face, but an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word changed there is a word that speaks of transformation. As a matter of fact, it is a word that is translated from the Greek word from which we get our word metamorphosis from. It is the idea of something that is being changed from the inside out. It is speaking of a transformation. It's the same word that is used when you read in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same word that is used in the Gospels where the Bible says, for example, in Matthew 17, that Jesus was transfigured before them. He was changed. That is, the glory of Christ began to shine in such a way that he radiated in the presence of those disciples on that mountaintop. The same word is being used here, and that is talking about a transformation that takes place from the inside out. And the Bible says, indeed, we are changed into the same image, that is, the image of Christ or the image of the Lord, from glory to glory, even as, notice now, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is, it is the work of the Spirit of God to do this work of change or transformation in the lives of the redeemed. The background of this verse goes back to earlier in the chapter, whenever the Apostle Paul was writing there about the fact that Moses had that veil over his face. Remember when he met with the Lord, and I tell you, the glory of God was so real that his face was shining with the glory of God, and he put that veil on his face, and the glory of God was hidden. That is, it was hidden from the Jewish people there at the Mount Sinai. Remember that story and how that the glory began to fade away, and Moses had that veil over his face. Well, the Bible says here that it's not just Moses who gets to see and experience the glory of God, but notice how it starts out, but we all. You see, one of the great things about the New Testament and the New Covenant is that every child of God, every person who's been redeemed by the grace of God, every one of us, we all indeed have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And because of the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we have an open face. That is, we don't have a veil over our face. That is, the glory of God is not hidden, ladies and gentlemen. It is not hidden from us. But the glory of God that was hidden away in the Old Covenant, in the New Testament, it was hidden away by the types and shadows in the Old Testament. As you read through the Old Testament, you have to look for the glory of God. And listen to me now, it's hidden away in the Old Testament, covered with a veil. But I tell you that in Christ, the glory of God has been openly revealed. That is, in the face of Christ, God's glory openly revealed. What the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1 of our Lord Jesus, in verse number 3, that Jesus is the brightness of His glory and the express image of the person of God. And so listen, He came and revealed the glory of God. Wouldn't it have been something just to be there on the Mount of Transfiguration and to see His body begin to glow with the glory of God? But listen, there were glimpses of glory even beyond that, when the sight of the blind was healed, and all of a sudden the cripples are walking, and all of a sudden there are dead people that are walking around. That is the glory of God being demonstrated in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me now, that was not hidden. It was well known, and the veil was removed so that we could see the glory of God. And then one day, the glory of God began to shine on you, and it began to shine on me. Why, in the very next chapter, in chapter number 4, the Bible says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. There's a veil over them that do not believe, lest the glorious gospel, light of the gospel, should shine unto them. But I tell you, listen to me, one day, that light began to shine on you, and it began to shine on me, and all of a sudden, we saw Him in His glory, didn't we? We realized who He was and received Him as the Lord of our life. And all of a sudden now, we who were in darkness, we who had a veil over our hearts, now are seeing and in the midst of His glory. Are y'all still with me? That is, we all, with open face, the Bible says, beholding as in a glass, that is a mirror reflecting the glory of the Lord in the face of Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, we see His glory. You say, Pastor, how in the world do we see His glory? Listen to me now, it's shining brightly through the very pages of this book, is it not? Well, we find the glory of God revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, those who've experienced that are being changed by it. The Bible says that we are in the process of being changed into the same image, that is, into the image of Christ. And notice now, from glory to glory. Now, I really like that, and the reason why is because I know what he just wrote early in the chapter about Moses and his fading glory. Moses got a glimpse of glory, but it wasn't long until the glory faded away. But I tell you, in the New Testament, those who are indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit, I want to say to you that we have a glory that never fades away. Instead, we have a glory that increases. We go from glory to glory. Sometimes we act like that after we get saved, that the joy of salvation sort of fades away. But listen to me now, that's not normal salvation. That is, normal biblical salvation is that we go from glory to glory. That is, an increasing glory that ultimately one day will result in the glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we find that there is an increasing glory. There's a transformation that is taking place in our lives. He's changing us from the inside out. And He's changing us or transforming us into the same image, the Bible says, into the image of Christ. He is making us new. He is renewing us, and He's making us more like Him. There is a transformation taking place in our life. If you was to walk in to the church And you were to look around in the church and say, what is it that the Holy Spirit, the one who inhabits the church, what's he doing? He's transforming things. Have you ever bought an old house and decided you was going to remodel it? Or maybe you bought a new house and decided you was going to remodel it. Amen. And that is, and you bought a house and when you got a hold of it, it was filthy and it was dirty and it wasn't what it ought to be. And you bought it. You paid the price and now it's yours. And you're living on the inside of it. And you begin to change it on the inside. You begin to paint the walls a different color. You begin to put the furniture in a different place that the previous owner had it. And you begin to transform that house. When you get done with the inside, all of a sudden you start changing some things on the outside. Maybe you put some new landscaping on the outside, or maybe you painted a different color, whatever it might be, but you begin to change everything about that house. One day God found an old house, and that is, he found me and he found you. And I tell you, the previous owner was a filthy, rotten one. I was filthy on the inside and you was filthy on the inside as well. Sin dominated our lives and dominated our minds. Our flesh was in control and we were walking according to the course of the world, the Bible says in Ephesians 2. Walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is, of course, speaking of the devil. And the Lord found a filthy, rotten, listen, worldly, ungodly person. And he paid the price. Sent his son to the cross, and the Spirit of God came to work on our heart and brought us to the point of receiving Christ as the Lord of our life. And from the moment that God saved us, his Spirit has been living on the inside of us ever since. And his purpose in our life is to change everything on the inside of our life. He's been changing things around, hasn't he? I mean, things just aren't the same. He's been painting the walls, and he's been putting the furniture where he wants to put it, and he's been changing things around so that now, when you look at where you're at now, as to where you was before the Lord saved you, things are not the same on the inside. Things have changed, haven't they? Well, that's what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. And that is that the one who moved inside of your life, the Spirit of God who's living in the church, living in you, his purpose is to transform us or change us from the inside out. And I said this to you this morning, but I want to emphasize it again. And that is that my mentality is this: Lord, I wish you would zap me and just get it all done right now. Amen. I'll just take the whole bag right now. I mean, just change it all right now. But here's what I'm finding out of my Christian walk. And that is that it's a daily process. And that is that God is working on me and he's still working on me. And it's in the daily grind of walking with God and spending time in his presence and staying in the Word, studying the Word day in and day out, walking with God in prayer every day, being in the house of God, whether you feel like it or whether you don't, just being there and just going ahead. And in the daily grind of walking with God, God is in the process of changing you from the inside out and transforming your life. Just like we would an old house. Now, there are three aspects to this work of transformation that I want to talk about for a few moments this evening. What I mean by the three aspects is simply the fact that I want to talk about our conversion experience, our Christian life, and our coming Lord. Three areas in which we experience the transforming, this changing work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to talk about our conversion experience for just a moment. And the reason why I have to start there is because that's where it all started. That's where it began. As a matter of fact, in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, there's an interesting verse there, and I'll just touch on an aspect of it. But the Bible says this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then there's the phrase, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that little phrase there, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, means this. It means that at our conversion, when we were born again and made a new creature in Christ, the Holy Spirit who came on the inside of us made us a brand new person in Christ. Why, right there in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you keep reading from chapter number 3 and get through chapter number 4, you'll get to chapter number 5. And Jim, you'll get to verse 17, where the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That means at the moment of your conversion, God made you a brand new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit who came to live on the inside of you made you a new person. And listen to me now. Listen, what he did in you whenever he saved you has continuing results now in your life. In other words, it wasn't just a one-time deal. Now, salvation is a one-time deal, but what God did when he saved you you was the beginning point of something He's going to continue on in your life. That is, at the moment of your conversion, He justified you so that you stand before Him righteous in His sight, and that never changes. But He began a process of sanctification, that is, a process of transformation, that is, He made you new, and that newness that He gave you has continuing results in your life. It's kind of like, ladies and gentlemen, when you buy a house, and that is, the house has got a new owner, and everything has changed in the house, and that process of having a new owner means that every little thing changes in the house. My wife and I have lived in the house that we're in now for over 19 years, and listen, we're still in the process of changing things. Now, one of the reasons why we're still in the process is because I'm so slow about doing it. Amen? Exactly right. It'd move along a little bit quicker if it was just up to her. But I move a little bit slower. And here's what I've discovered about God. And that is not to say that there's any comparison between me and God. But I found out this. I found out that when God moved into my life, there were some things that changed immediately. I became a brand new creature. I had a new heart on the inside of me. But I've been discovering in my life that God is in a process of changing me since my conversion. That's transformation. That is, He's making things new. He's still making things new and changing us on the inside. That is, from our conversion experience. So first of all, when you talk about the work of transformation, you got to begin with our conversion experience. But then you also now have to talk about our Christian life. And the reason why is because what began at our conversion, a new creature, continues in our Christian life. Listen to me now. If you've been born again, if you've really been born again, I mean, if you didn't just walk an aisle and join a church, but you really met the Lord and the Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of you, then He began a work in you at your conversion that has continuing results now in your Christian life. And as you're living out the Christian life, living the Christ life, we are now continuing to be made new and transformed since our conversion. Well, did you know that since our conversion, there's a new plan for our lives? We have a brand new plan for our lives. Romans 8 and verse number 29, listen to what it says. Romans 8 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Did you know that God's plan for your life is to conform you into the image of His Son? That's what we've been read about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and that is that He is changing us into the same image. His plan for our life, God's plan for our life, listen to me now, is to transform us, to change us into the image of His Son. That's God's plan. You see, some folks, when they talk about God's plan for their life, they think of it in terms of dollars and cents. Some folks think about it in terms of houses and cars. Some folks think of it in terms of clothes and kids. That is, God's plan for my life is to bless me materially and physically. But listen to me now, God's plan for your life. Listen, lost people have those things. Did you hear me? Those are the things that lost people have planned for their lives. There's something different about you as a child of God, because somebody lives in you and He's changing everything, and now the plan has changed. Ever since your conversion, a new, brand new plan for your life. Instead of just being clothes and kids, instead of just being houses and cars, instead of just being dollars and cents, now it's a life that is directed towards Christ-likeness. His plan and purpose for your life is to be holy and godly and Christ-like. That's God's overall plan for your life. It's not just to give you a good family and a good job and some money to hand down to your kids when you die. Lost people do that. There's something different about you. And that is, God's new plan for your life is to conform you. That is, to transform you into the image of Christ. To make you like Him. You say, "Well, Pastor, when I get to heaven, I'll be like Him." Listen, He wants to work on you right now. His purpose for your Christian life is to transform you according to the new plan for your life since your conversion, and that's to make you like Christ. There's a new plan for your life. There's a new purpose for your body. I'm just trying to say there's something new going on in your Christian life. He's changing things around. New things are happening. New paint on the walls. There's a new plan for your life, and there's a new purpose for your body. You see, before you got saved, you and I used our bodies for sinful purposes. But now there's a brand new purpose for our body. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. In other words, what the Bible is telling us, that God's purpose for our body is to be a living sacrifice. That is to give all of our body to Him and say, Lord, I want to use every ounce of energy that I have and every gift that I have, all the abilities I have, and I'm going to use my body for Your glory. What the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that since we are indeed bought with the price, and since we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've got a brand new purpose for your body. That's what the Holy Spirit's up to. He's still making you new. That is, He made you a new creature at your conversion. And now in your Christian life, there's a new plan for your life. There's a new purpose for your body. There's a new program for your mind. A new program for your mind. Did you know the Holy Spirit is doing some reprogramming? That's right. He took an old computer and He's reprogramming it. I'm talking about that thing that sits right there on top of your neck. That is your mind. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give you a brand new mind. A new mind, the mind of Christ. He's trying to reprogram your mind. That is what you believe and how you think and the attitudes that you develop that I touched on a little bit this morning. He's trying to reprogram your mind. That's right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 22, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. He wants to transform your mind. That's right. So that you are full of the knowledge of God. Colossians 3:10. There's a brand new knowledge that can dominate your mind. The Bible describes it as the knowledge of God. Dominating your mind. Well, you can have a whole new focus for your mind. That's exactly right. A whole new focus. The Apostle Paul did right here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Listen to what Paul writes. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For the which cause we faint not or don't give up. For though our outward man perish, notice now, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Don't you like that? Oh, the outward body, it's perishing, but the inward man being transformed. I mean, day by day. I mean, day in and day out, in the daily grind of life, God is renewing me from the inside out, transforming me from the inside out. And he goes on, he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now listen, I already know by reading that verse, this man's mind is being reprogrammed. And the reason why is because I know the kind of affliction he was going through. But if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he starts talking about the times that he was beaten, the times that he was stoned, the times that he was shipwrecked, the times that he was left in the without proper clothing and in the cold. And he just starts describing all the hardship as he lived for God. And as now, back here in chapter number 4, as he thinks about that affliction, he calls it light. He says it's a light affliction, and he tells us there that this light affliction that I'm going through, it's not working against me, it's working for me. And he said it's working for me an exceeding a weight of glory, the Bible says, an eternal weight of glory. In other words, here's what he's saying, all these problems that I'm going through, man, they're really nothing. Then, as a matter of fact, they're really good for me because they're just getting me ready for when the Lord comes and I get to share in His glory. Now listen to me, that's not the way the average person thinks. Here's how we think. Listen to me now. We think when just something little goes wrong in our life or something's not quite right or somebody doesn't like us or our health isn't what it ought to be, we think everything is falling apart. Are y'all still with me? We don't view it as light. We view it as heavy. Everything's awful. Everything's bad. You see, why are we that way? It is our old flesh, our old sinful nature gravitates towards that which is negative. Something's going on in this man's life with all these problems, and he said it's just a light affliction, and it's not hurting me. It's good for me. Because it's working and exceeding eternal weight of glory. You say, what's going on? There's a reprogramming going on right in here. The Holy Spirit of God is changing, renewing, transforming this guy from the inside out so that he has, listen to me now, a new program for his mind. And he's thinking about his trials and afflictions and difficulties in a whole different way than he used to. and that most of us do. That's right. Verse number 18 of that same chapter 4 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. Now I know this has been a reprogramming going on because most of us are looking at the things we can see. Our focus, the focus of our mind is that which is visible to our eye, but not this man. He says, I'm not looking or focusing on those things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The focus of his mind was on eternal things, not physical things that you can see. Are y'all still with me? Listen to me. The same work that God did in this man's mind, he's trying to do in us. Did you know that he wants to, according to 2 Corinthians 10, he wants to help you bring every thought captive to Christ. Every single thought captive to Christ. If you allow the Holy Spirit to so transform you that the thoughts of your mind are captive to Christ, if you'll allow him to reprogram your mind, then you're experiencing the work of transformation that the Bible's talking about. That's what he wants to do. He wants to reprogram your mind. He's got a new plan for our lives. He's got a new purpose for our bodies. He's got a new program for our minds. He's got new produce for our souls. New produce for our souls. You see, from inside of you, there's been some fruit being produced. From the time before your conversion, you know what was being produced out of your soul? Well, the Bible describes it to us in Galatians 5, beginning of verse number 19. It's called the works of the flesh. And there's a description there of sexual immorality. There are several words that refer to sexual immorality. There are words that refer to the greed and the selfishness and the self-centeredness that flows out of our life that causes us to want to be better than other people, to win over other people. And that is to be against other people. The reason why that you and I have the world that we live in, the reason why we live in a world where there are different teams that compete against one another, different political parties that compete against one another, is because we're a fallen world and we are fleshly. Now I know that you can't imagine a world any other way. But listen to me now. The Bible teaches us that's what is produced from the heart and the soul of sinful people. People who don't like each other, who say bad things about each other, who speak evil about one another. It comes out of a soul that is corrupt with sin. That's what our soul has been producing. Bitterness and evil speaking and envying and jealousy coming out of our soul. But listen to me now. The Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you has his broom out and he's about to sweep that stuff right out the door. Amen. Listen, it's kind of like you when you go to your house and you see the cobwebs. It's that time of year. Right outside of our window, our kitchen window, is a cobweb with a spider. Looks like he's about that big around. Yeah. If he ever gets on the inside, he's in trouble. Amen. And we might just get him anyway. The weather doesn't. If you walked into your house and you saw an old nasty spider, I know what you'd do. Amen. You'd just smash him, wouldn't you? Exactly. I mean, he'd be gone and you'd sweep him up and throw him away. And listen to me now, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, he saw some old nasty spiders and cobwebs in your life, like jealousy and envy and pride and greed, all that stuff on the inside of you. And you know what he's been doing? He's been trying to produce something new in your soul. Instead of growing cobwebs with spiders on them, he's trying to grow something brand new. Instead of there being lust and envy and pride and greed produced out of your soul. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God living on the inside of us is trying to produce from our soul. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. Listen to me now. That's what he's trying to produce in our soul. You've got a whole new produce for your soul. Man, God's changing his people from the inside out. He's got a new plan for our bodies. New plan for our lives. A new purpose for our bodies. He's got a new program for our minds and a new produce for our souls. Did you know he's got a new path for our walk? That is, as you and I journey through life, he's got a whole new path for us to walk on. The Bible says that before we got saved, we were walking according to the course of the world. in Ephesians 2. But now God's got a whole new path for us to walk on. Over in Galatians chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. A whole new path to walk on. Now that the Spirit of God's living on the inside of you, you can, instead of walking according to the course of the world, you can walk according to the course of the Spirit. That is, you can walk in the Spirit. You say, well, if I walk in the Spirit, what that's going to be like? It's going to be walking in newness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, walk in newness of life. It means walking in newness. It means walking in faith. Right here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul says that indeed we don't walk by sight, but by faith. It means walking by faith. If you walk in the Spirit, it means walking in worthiness. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, or walk in a manner that reflects who we are now that we are in Christ. We're to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, walk in love, even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. It means walking in wisdom. Ephesians 5, the Bible says in verses 14 and following that we're to walk circumspectly in wisdom. In wisdom. Redeeming the time. It means walking in the light. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 7, that you and I, those who walk in the light, that is you and I who are redeemed by the grace of God, that as we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we have fellowship one with another. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the one who lives on the inside of you has got a whole new path for you to walk on. He's transforming you from the inside out, isn't He? A new path for our walk. Listen, He's got a new power for our task. A new power for our task. Did you know that God's got a task for you to do? And the Spirit of God living on the inside of you now has empowered you for that? You remember Acts 1:8, don't you? But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. In Ephesians 3:16, as Paul was praying for the Ephesians, he prayed for them that they would be strengthened by his power in the inner man by the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of them. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, is God wants to empower you for the purpose of accomplishing the task that he has set for us to do as his New Testament church, as his church, his body, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have a task to do, and the one who's living on the inside of us has empowered us for that task. He is transforming our entire life from the inside out. What I've said to you, that when it comes to our Christian life, that is the life that you and I now have in Christ, when it comes to our Christian life, listen, we've got a brand new plan for our lives, a new purpose for our bodies. Listen, we've got a new program for our minds. He's reprogramming these minds. We've got a new produce for our souls. He's producing in us the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh. We've got a brand new path for our walk because now we can walk in the Spirit. We've got a new power for our task because we have His power empowering us to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. And listen now, we've got a new perfection for our character. There's a wonderful verse here in the book of 2 Corinthians I want to call your attention to. Chapter number 7 and verse number 1. I want you to notice with me what it says. I'll make a few comments about it and I'll move to my last point, if you are wondering. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. This is a wonderful verse. It's become so meaningful to me over the past few years. Having therefore these promises. That is, he's talking about the promises in the previous verse, in the previous verses, where he was talking about the fact that these believers in Corinth are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them. They're the sons of God and He's their Father. Having these promises, he said, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That is, everything that is ungodly that pertains to our material body, our physical body, and everything that is ungodly that pertains to the inner man or the spirit. That is all of it. That is, cleanse ourselves. That is, all of that ungodliness in our life, that we're to cleanse ourselves. The inner and the outer man, cleanse ourselves from all that filthiness and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Listen to me now. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit. That's His purpose in your life. His purpose in your life is to perfect your character. To perfect your character. To make you holy. To cleanse every filthy thing out of your life. Listen to me. When I get alone with God to pray, this is one of the verses that I pray almost every day. Almost every time I pray. And that is when I get alone with God and I begin to pray, God, would you cleanse out of my life every filthy thing? All the filthiness that's connected to my flesh, would you cleanse that out of my life? And God, would you teach me how to perfect holiness in my life? You say, Pastor, I don't think that we should be trying to be holy. I mean, there's other religious groups that are, you know, that do that. I mean, we're Baptists, aren't we? And as Baptists, we kind of have this attitude that, hey, we're all going to sin, so that's just the way it is. But listen to me now. The Spirit of God is grieved by that kind of an attitude. And the purpose, the transforming purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is to cleanse everything out of you on the inside and outside. Everything about your spirit and everything about your body. Everything that is filthy. It is to cleanse you. To wash that out of your life. To remove it from your life. I'm not talking about just forgive you. You say, well, I confess my sins at the end of the day. I'm not talking about just forgiveness. I'm talking about it being washed out of your life. Cleansed out of your life so that it is there no more. He wants to clean you up. If we confess our sins, why, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything that is ungodly, unrighteous, and filthy in your life, He is trying to clean that out of our life. Trying to clean it out of our life. One of the tools that He uses is this very book that we're looking at tonight. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5 that the Son of God, like a good husband would to his wife, that the Son of God is indeed sanctifying us by the washing of the water of the Word. Cleaning us up by the washing of the water of the Word so that we might be presented a glorious church without any spot or any wrinkle in Ephesians 5 verses 25 through 27. That's His purpose in our life. Operating through the Word, the Spirit of God is trying to clean us up and perfect holiness in our life. That's His purpose. That is a new perfection for our character. Now listen to me. Those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit ought to be moving in that direction. That is, the work of transformation is day by day being renewed, made new. That is, He is cleansing us of the things that are ungodly in our life. And as those things are cleaned up out of our life, removed from our life, you say, well, Pastor, I've just got some things that I just can't seem to get rid of. Listen to me now. If you'll walk in the Spirit, God will help you to get rid of those things. Everything that is ungodly and filthy, it may be friendships that need to be severed. Listen, there may be a lot of stuff at your house that needs to go to the trash. There may be some priorities that need to be realigned. There may be some thoughts that need to be dismissed and not allowed to be entertained in your mind. There may be some stuff that your eyes should not behold and that your ears should not be listening to. Even if it's the gossip on the other end of the line, you can simply in a kind way say, I don't like listening to gossip, and say goodbye. Are y'all still with me? I'm just trying to say, God wants to clean you up and perfect holiness in your life. That's His purpose in your Christian life. Well, I've said to you that when it comes to the work of transformation, there is indeed our conversion experience. That's where it all began. And then there is our Christian life, where He is continually making things new in our life now that we're a child of God. He's painting the walls and moving the furniture around and making everything new, the Spirit of God is. And then thirdly, there is finally our coming Lord. Our coming Lord. Listen, when Jesus comes, we're going to experience the ultimate transformation. Let me read it to you. I'll make a couple of comments, and then we'll try to finish up. 1 Corinthians 15 is the passage I want you to see. Right here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that hasn't been revealed before, but it's about to be revealed now. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, not all of the people of God are going to die when the Lord comes. But we shall all be changed. There it is. Do you see it? We're not all going to be dead when the Lord comes, but every child of God, we're all going to be changed. You remember what the Bible said back in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we're being changed, aren't we? Into the same image. The Bible says when Christ comes again, we will be changed. All of us will be. Why, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, those believers who are dead, when the Lord comes, all of a sudden their bodies are coming out of the grave, and they're not the same diseased bodies that were put in the grave. They are incorruptible, immortal bodies that are rising from the grave and being reunited with their souls from heaven. The Bible says the dead will be raised, and we, those who are alive, those who are not dead, shall be changed. That instantly we also will be transformed, our bodies are going to be changed. Now remember, He made us a brand new creature when He saved us, and He's been making things new in our life all through our Christian life. And then one day the Lord's going to come, and whether you're dead or whether you're alive, all of a sudden now, you and I are changed. That is, the Bible says that our bodies are risen from the dead, changed bodies. And if you're alive when He comes, listen, all of a sudden you're going to be changed and transformed. Why, this corruptible, verse 53, will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And all of a sudden the ultimate transformation takes place. And finally, after the daily grind of being conformed to His image, transformed by His power, made new day by day, all of a sudden now, we finally have our new body. Remember Romans 8:11? Here's what it says. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and He does if you're saved, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Listen to me. If you're saved and are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, then that's the guarantee that one of these days your body will be raised from the dead. A changed body, a new body. Matter of fact, it's going to be like His glorious body. Well, let me read it to you. Philippians 3:21. It says, He shall change our vile body. There it is. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working wherewith He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. When He comes, you're going to be instantly changed so that your vile body is going to become like His glorious body. 1 John 3:2 is the last verse I'll look at. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Finally, when He comes, the transformation that it began at our conversion, that it continued throughout our Christian life, will be completed at the second coming. And we'll be like Him. What's the Spirit of God doing in the church? He's doing a work of transformation that it began in you at conversion when He made you a new creature, and that He'll complete at the resurrection. He's doing that work in you right now, making all things new. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the work that You're doing in our lives and for Your purpose and plan in the lives of Your people, Your church. Transformation, transforming us, Father, from what we were, what Your purpose is for us to be. Now I pray, Father, that You'll work Your work in our hearts. There are those who are here, Father, that haven't been walking with You, haven't been staying in step with the Holy Spirit. Instead of grieve the Spirit, there are things that You've brought to surface in their life that You're trying to get rid of. Father, there are folks that are here tonight, God, that You've brought the cobwebs out so they can see them. God, You brought the filth to the surface so that they can do what You have said for us to do, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. God, so that they can sweep out the cobwebs, clean up the trash, and get rid of the filth. God, I thank you that you bring that to the surface, not so, Father, that we can be discouraged by it, but so that we can be cleansed of it, so that we can deal with it, so that we can get rid of it. And Father, we know that your Spirit living on the inside of us wants to help us do that. So would you help us tonight? You put your finger on some areas of our life that you want to help us with, and I pray that you would for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.